The ladies' restroom is dirty, and the porcelain tiles on the walls and floor are cracked. It's been a long bus ride to Kansas. Barbie stands in front of the mirror, hair tied back, eyebrow pencil in her hand. She looks good in the little black dress.
Oh boy, 20 minutes before she gets here. I'm really not looking forward to this. Part of me is screaming just to get on the next Greyhound bus and get out of here. I've been bus hopping for 3 days now. 1,600 miles. I can't believe this is happening. Apply makeup. Breathe deeply. Try not to remember.
The Sandman, Act 2, Episode 17, A Game of You. I woke up and one of us was crying.
The Isle of Thorns, all that was left of the land, Barbie's refuge in dreams, is still fresh in her memory. And she is back there again. The isle drifts in the midst of nothingness, the chill wind flapping the hem of Dream's black robe as he faces Barbie and her friends, Thessaly, Hazel, and Foxglove. Sitting nearby is the cuckoo, an 8-year-old Barbie who looks vulnerable and obstinate. Barbie herself, in her torn and tattered princess party dress, addresses Morpheus by the only name she knows for him.
Mr. Murphy, are you going to do anything about the cuckoo?
Do anything? Saving only your boon, I have done all I came here to do, Barbara.
But she still has to be stopped.
Why?
Well, she's dangerous. She's evil. Huh.
Dangerous, perhaps, but evil. She acts according to her nature. Is that evil?
Listen, she was going to kill me.
And your Thessalian friend wanted to kill her. Should I kill Thessaly for you also?
Thessaly, in her nightgown, robe, and fluffy bunny slippers, glares at Morpheus from behind large, round glasses.
Don't push your luck, Dream King.
I think he was joking, Thess.
I don't.
But you played your part in the cuckoo's deeds also, Barbara. After all, it is your fault that she was bound to this skerry and could not leave it when her time came to fly, after the manner of her kind. Yours and Rose Walker's, I should say.
Rose? What's she got to do with this?
Rose Walker? I knew a Rose Walker. She was Judy's token straight friend. Multicolored hair?
Yeah.
Small world.
If any have wrought evil, it is your friends who walked the moon's road into your dreams.
We were only trying to help Barbie.
I know.
Oh, I don't know what to make of anything anymore.
Foxglove, with her cropped white hair and ratty bathrobe, looks sad and nervous. Hazel, boyish in a long t-shirt with her pudding bowl hair, pushes forward.
You said we were trespassers here. That you're not pleased with us?
No, I am not.
Are you going to do anything bad to us?
Do anything? No.
Sometimes inaction is itself action, of course.
Of course. As I said, you are trespassers. You came here without my cognizance, nor with my consent. You must pay the price for that.
Lord Morpheus?
Yes, Thessalian.
What will happen to this place we're standing on, when you go and Barbie goes?
I will leave it here for you. It would be unfair to remove it.
Oh, please.
So you'll just leave us here? Is that what you're saying?
Can you give me any reason not to?
But we only came here because we thought Barbie was in trouble.
So you have said.
I'm here,
Barbara, When I first created this land, quite some time ago, I made a compact with the woman for whom I created it. It was a compromise. But she died when her time came, and the compact remained uninvoked.
Uh-huh.
You have invoked the compact. The first half is completed. The land's time is done. Now only the final pact remains. You may ask a boon of me.
What kind of a boon?
Any boon that it is within my power to give.
Barbie gestures at the cuckoo, who sits scratching in the sand with a stick.
Can I ask you to kill her, the cuckoo?
Certainly, if that is to be your boon.
This boon of mine, could you remake the land? Make it all again?
Certainly.
And bring back Wilkinson and Martin Tenbones and everyone again? All my friends?
Indeed, if you wish me to. Well?
I don't know. Let me think.
Barbie, tell him to eliminate the cuckoo. I'll get the rest of us back home somehow. Trust me on this.
Oh, shut up, Thessaly. I've got a boon, huh? Okay, Murphy. I'll take the Dorothy option. I want to send us all home. Me and Hazel and Foxglove and Thessaly. I want us back safe and sound.
Very well.
Does that mean I can fly?
Yes.
Barbie, thank you. Go away.
The little cuckoo walks away from them down the causeway, which is now attached to nothing. She begins to run, spreading her arms out wide, like a child playing airplanes.
I can fly!
As she runs, feathers grow from her arms. Her body straightens and more feathers form, and the transformation is complete. She is a huge bird. Flying away from them, a cuckoo flapping off into the nothingness.
Wow! That one night's dream I pick at, scab-like, in my head.
In the restroom, Barbie has carefully drawn a net veil on her face, in eyebrow pencil.
Most dreams vanish at daybreak. You forget. Not this. I don't forget. Over and over and over.
There, Barbara. The cuckoo has gone. Out of this dream world into worlds beyond your imagining. Or my dominion. She shall not trouble you again. And perhaps your choice was wisest. After all, give me your hand.
Okay.
You specified safe and sound in your boon. Thus, it will take me a little time before I can send you all back. I will take my leave of you now, Barbara. I will be seeing you again, although you, for your part, are unlikely to see me.
Oh. Well, nice to meet you.
You too.
Us? Me and Foxglove?
You have been lucky. Understand me when I say that, little maiden, little mother. The future has strange journeys in store for you both, but perhaps in future you should choose your traveling companions with more care.
Uh-huh.
And you, Thessalian, you have been foolish and unconsidered in your actions. You will hardly survive another century if you continue in this manner of behavior, lady.
I don't remember asking your advice, Dream King.
It was freely given, and well meant. Farewell.
I probably still smell like 3 days in Greyhound buses and stations. But there's only so much you can do with soap and a washcloth in the John.
Barbie pulls a black pillbox hat out of her big black leather bag and places it on her head with the drawn-on veil. The look feels suitable to the occasion.
Not that Wanda will mind, maybe. But I do want to make a good impression. After he left, it felt like we sat on the sand forever,
waiting to wake up.
All four women, sitting in a row. Barbie at one end, Foxglove with her arm around Hazel in the middle, Thessaly at the other end.
He comes on like he's so cool. Who does he think he's fooling? Well, he's not fooling me, oh no.
Thess, can I ask you a question?
Sure, Hazel. And it isn't even as if he's good-looking. He's too thin for a start.
How old are you?
I was born in the day of greatest darkness, in the year the bear totem was shattered.
What's that supposed to mean?
Haze, leave her alone. She's upset.
But I wasn't.
Then there was that sensation you get on waking, as everything moved further away, and I started to become aware of the cold. And in my dream, it was warm. And so I tried to stay in my dream forever. But the harder I held on, the further it slipped away from me. And then I woke up. Anyway, somehow I really am in Kansas.
Ho ho! What in the hell is that?
Don't reckon I know, but it can sit on my face anytime.
Assholes.
You must be her, aren't you?
The woman is in her early 40s, wearing a trim black dress with a black coat and purse, longish graying hair and a cigarette. She bears a family resemblance to Wanda.
Aren't you Alvin's friend?
I'm Wanda's friend. I'm Barbie.
Right. I'm Alvin's Aunt Dora. Sit down. You must be exhausted. Can I get you anything?
Just coffee, please.
You hungry, child?
Well, just a little. Yes.
Jenny Sue, fetch me 2 large cups of coffee and 2 slices of blueberry pie. Big slices, you hear?
You got it, Dora.
Now, what's that on your face?
It's a veil. I just drew it on.
You aren't some kind of weirdo, are you, girl?
No.
How close were you?
To Wanda? Pretty close. She lived in the room next door to me. We'd talk a lot, go shopping, you know, just hang out, girl talk.
Listen, girl, when you meet the mans, Ezekiel and Joan Ellen, well, they aren't broad-minded like me. You make sure that you talk about their son. They've been hurt enough by all this. You don't want to make things any harder for them. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. It's out here you expect twisters and freak weather, not in New York.
No. Nobody expected it.
You want to talk about it?
Okay, ladies, here's your coffee, and here's the pie.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jenny Sue.
Hey, are you a friend of Alvin?
I'm a friend of Wanda's, yes.
We were at high school together. We were all sorry to hear.
Thanks. The last time I saw Wanda alive, it was the night before the storm. You see, I was asleep when it happened. I missed out on the whole thing, hurricane and all.
Bet it gave you bad dreams, though. When I slept through the big one we had here a few years back, I dreamed I was in the war and they were dropping bombs.
Yes, I had dreams.
So then what?
Then I woke up, and I was soaking wet, and it was daylight, and there wasn't any house anymore. I was under a pile of rubble. You know, what was weird was what saved my life. There was a woman on top of me. She was dead. This little old woman. Her name was Maisie Hill, and I'd never met her before. And she was on top of me. She was crushed by falling bricks. She was killed. Wanda was killed. And this guy upstairs was killed. George? Oh, that was really nasty. He must have been in the bathtub when it happened. His whole upper body was completely mashed up. Poor guy. I mean, he was kind of a mommy's boy. Sort of creepy, but he never did anyone any harm. No one deserves to go like that.
So they pulled you out of the wreckage?
Yeah. It was the emergency services. They were pretty good.
Say, hi, I'm Mary Gentian. Can we get a shot of the victim?
Who's she, kid? I thought the cops were gonna clear the area.
The first thing I saw when they pulled me out was a TV camera. I'm freezing and bruised, and they've pulled this poor old woman off me, and I'm just numb inside. I'm in shock. And you know what happens?
We're rolling. No board.
In 3, 2, 1. I'm Mary Gentian, viewers, and this is just one of the many Manhattan properties that was effectively demolished by last night's hurricane. Mean Lisa, as they're already calling her. Behind me, you can see...
Hey, lady! Get your friggin' butt out of the friggin' way. We gotta get this woman to the hospital.
Listen, Buster, I have a First Amendment right to broadcast.
And I have a First Amendment right to bust your friggin' chops if you don't move.
And that was when I saw Wanda. She was in one of those big plastic bags. What are they called? Body bags? You could see everything. She looked like she was asleep. That was a scary thing. I wanted to reach out and wake her up. I found myself thinking about plastic bags and how dangerous it is to put them over your head because you can't breathe and you can suffocate and everything. And I think that was when I went kind of hysterical. Because they told me later I was just shouting at them, telling them to get her out of the bag and get some clothes on her. And
it's okay, honey. It's okay.
I'm sorry.
Can we have some more coffee over here?
Like I say, I was pretty much out of my mind by that point. I remember seeing... Well, no. Not seeing, imagining. This huge, bright red slug, like a... I don't know, like some kind of tongue slithering through the rubble?
Here you go, ladies.
Thank you.
So, how about the other people in the building? They weren't hurt?
Well, Hazel and Foxglove? They were two friends who lived upstairs from me. They were fine. And Thessaly, she was across the way. I think she was fine, too.
Thessaly. Isn't that a place in Greece or somewhere like that?
Maybe, I don't know. We never talked much. Scarlet, she owns the building and lived on the very top floor. She was visiting some friends in Maine that week.
Mm-hmm.
Scarlett came to see me in the hospital. She was really upset. She says the insurance could take years to pay up. And she was really fond of Wanda.
It must have been very traumatic for you.
Yes.
Well, it's probably a mercy. The good Lord taken Alvin.
Wanda.
God gives you a body. It's your duty to do well by it. He makes you a boy, you dress in blue. He makes you a girl, you dress in pink. You mustn't go trying to change things.
Wanda didn't change anything. She was meant to be a woman.
Oh, well, Jenny Sue, the check.
Right with you, Dora.
How was the ride here?
Shitty. Long. Cramped.
Yeah. Come on, Jenny Sue, the funeral will be starting soon.
4:50 if you're in a hurry.
I'll leave in 5.
Much obliged. You gonna be in town long, hon?
I don't think so. I'm just here for the funeral.
Well, you come back anytime you need a good meal, and we'll fatten you up some.
Thank you.
The red one's mine. Hop in.
Thanks.
So where are you living now your apartment's blown away?
I don't really know. I don't have a job, and my savings are almost gone. I still get an alimony check, and that helps a little, when Ken remembers to send it. Can I fix my makeup?
There's a mirror in the sunshield.
Thanks. So, I don't know where I'll be living. When I was ready to get out of the hospital, they gave me your card about Wanda's funeral, and I just called you and bought my bus ticket and came. I may not go back to New York. I may just keep going west.
But surely you want to go home.
I'm not sure about that. I don't think home's a place anymore. I think it's more a state of mind.
I see. How about the other people in your house?
Well, Hazel and Foxglove have moved upstate to stay with Hazel's mother. Hazel's a chef, and she'll get another job easy. And Fox can write anywhere, so they'll be okay. And Thessaly, I don't know. I'm sure she'll be fine. She'll just get another room somewhere. Thessaly's a survivor. I mean, she's really quiet. And I'm sure when you get to know her, she's really sweet. But sometimes I think maybe there's more going on the inside than you'd imagine. I don't know. I'm sure she'll be fine.
This is it.
Thanks for the ride.
My pleasure. Just need to put on my hat.
Real veil, huh?
Yes. I'm not as clever as you with eyebrow pencil.
You look nice.
Thanks.
Over there?
Yes. Looks like they're all at the graveside.
Of course, it's grass. I should have thought twice about wearing heels. Wanda would laugh at me now.
Please, don't upset them. It's Alvin, okay?
No, it's not okay. It's Wanda. I'll be polite, but it's Wanda.
Zeke, Joan Ellen, this is Barbara, Alvin's friend from New York.
Mr. Mann?
Thank you for coming all this way to show your respects, girl. Appreciate it.
How do you do, Mrs. Mann?
The hurricane. It was God's judgment on a city of sinners.
Barbara, why don't you stand for the interment
of our sure, son why not? Brother, it's Alvin suffocating Mann. Here.
Now, Zeke and Joan Allen have asked for a few words to be read from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Remember now thy creator.
Dora, what's that young girl done to her face?
Painted a veil on, Zeke. That's what they all do in New York.
Dora, I don't want that Barbara person coming back to the house for coffee and cakes afterwards. What with the people we've got coming over. This town's gonna remember Alvin as the God-fearing child that he should have been.
That's not what I'd call hospitable, Joan Allen. She's come a long way, and she'll be going back this evening.
Well, I didn't ask her.
The doors shall be shut in the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith he. All is vanity. Let us pray. Lord,
the service drones to its end. I realize that I'm already beginning to forget what Wanda looked like. Is memory that fragile? The thought scares me.
Amen.
As they prepare to go back to the man's for coffee and cake, Dora walks over to me.
Barbara, look, Zeke and Joan Allen...
They would rather I didn't go back to their place?
Well, yeah.
Fine by me. I've got a few things to say to Wanda on my own.
I'll wait for you in the car.
Thank you. They leave in knots and clusters. Like a flock of huge black birds, they strut back to their pickup trucks and station wagons and hearses. I walk to the grave. It's still open, with the casket at the bottom. There's a headstone up already. Alvin Robert Caleb Mann, 1966 to 1991. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. Well, you really did it this time. Making me come all this way just to say goodbye? I never knew that places around here had such beautiful names. I was watching the road signs from the bus. It gave me something to do. Cloverdale, Florissant, Mulberry Grove, Boonville, Selena, Aurora, and Goodland. They sound like the names of magic kingdoms, don't they? Your aunt seems okay. Wanda? I wish you were here. I mean, for a start, you could go some way toward telling me how come I was up in George's room. And how come you were? And why George was in the bath? And why Fox and Hazel seemed to be avoiding me? And who the old lady was who saved my life? I mean, who was she, Wanda? Maisie Hill? I've never even heard her name before. I went to her funeral last week. I was about the only one there. Just me and her daughter. That was all. I wish she was still around. There's this idea I've got, and it's something I haven't managed to put into words properly. And I know if you were here, you could help me to. Okay, here goes. Barbie's idea. It's like that people, well, that everybody has a secret world inside of them. I mean everybody. All of the people in the whole world, no matter how dull and boring they are on the outside, inside them, they've all got unimaginable, magnificent, wonderful, stupid, amazing worlds. Not just one world, hundreds of them, thousands maybe. Isn't that a weird thought? Anyway, I got you something. A present. There. Your favorite. An 80-page giant Hyperman comic featuring Tales of the Weirdo World. In order to buy it, I had to go into this bizarre little store. I mean, I don't think they'd swept the floor in a decade. And I bet the staff had to have taken unhelpfulness lessons. It was tough to find what I was looking for. There was a bunch of 14-year-old boys thumbing through porno magazines. And some new thing with about 5 different covers. Thrust Force Number 1 or something. Muscular men. And women with towering boobs. It was the kind of place that makes you feel oily and greasy and makes you wish you were somewhere else. And there was this greasy guy behind the counter.
What do you want?
I'm looking for a Hyperman title. With the Weirdzos? They live on this square planet somewhere out in outer space, and they do everything backwards? A friend told me about it.
Yeah, I got a copy from the 60s. It's not very collectible. You don't normally see it in comic book stores.
Oh.
You know what else you don't see in comic book stores?
No.
A chest as small as yours.
I wanted you to be there so badly. You would have said something to him that would have blistered his ears and curled his toes and made him feel like he was 6 inches high. I just blushed and left, mad on the inside. Anyway, here you go. Oh, yeah! And here, a lipstick. I thought you'd like it. Tacky Flamingo, or whatever it's called. Your favorite color. Oh, there's something I need to do before I leave this for you. Hope you don't mind if I borrow the lipstick for this. Let's just cross out the word Alvin. And let's write your real name instead. There. Wanda. Hey, no problem. Least I could do.
You done?
Everything I had to do.
Well, get in, girl. I'll drive you back down to the bus station.
Got any Kleenex?
Glove box.
Don't need this veil anymore.
So what are you gonna do now?
You know what my mom always used to say? She said when I was a little girl, I'd go off and play for hours on end. And when she asked me, she'd always get the same answer. Where you been? Out. What you been doing? Nothing.
Yeah, all kids say that.
They do? I thought it was just me. Anyway, that's what I'm going to do now.
How do you mean?
Where am I going? Out.
What am I going to do? Nothing.
Okay.
You see, I used to be a princess. I had a cuckoo in my head.
Oh. Well, isn't that nice?
We take the rest of the drive back in silence. And suddenly, I'm remembering. It's yesterday. I'm on the Greyhound bus, due to get into Indianapolis about 4 a.m. Outside, it's slush and sleet. And inside, we're all uncomfortable. And the man in the seat in front of me keeps whispering,
"Mr. Wrigley hasn't got no nose."
And bursting into tears. I can hear the sloosh, sloosh of the windshield wipers. Up until now, I haven't felt tired. But now, suddenly, my chin begins to dive downward. And the second or third time this happens, I go with it. I dream of Wanda. A beautiful Wanda wearing a fabulous dress, which reminds me of Glinda in the Oz movie. Something I'm sure she'd get a huge kick out of hearing. She's drop-dead gorgeous. And she looks happy.
Hey, Barbie.
Wanda's with this girl I don't know. Young, thin, maybe 16 at the outside. Kind of a goth in a black t-shirt and black jeans and boots. And her hair is spiky and long. She has a silver ankh around her neck. And the woman goes up on tippy-toe and whispers something into Wanda's ear. Then Wanda turns around, and she seems to see me. And she waves.
Gotta go, Barbie Bibbola.
And they both wave.
See you around.
And I'm going to wave back. But the bus pulls into the station. And they open the door, and it's freezing. We all get off the bus and try to persuade a busted soup machine to give us something hot to drink. And just like that, I'm back at the bus station again. Thanks. So long, Aunt Dora. And if there's a moral there, I don't know what it is. Save maybe that we should take our goodbyes wherever we can. And that's all.